Good morning.
Good morning, Brother.
I hope that you have been listening in the past. You should have a contact card that looks like this in your Bible in John chapter 4 as a bookmark. If you do not have one of those, let me know and I will get you one. That contact card is what you will use to put names on of those people you wish to share the gospel with. Take the time to put those names on there. There's about 10 lines. You can put 10 names on there and keep that in your Bible. And we pray for those names every week, and we will continue to do so. Also, whenever you're ready, if you want someone to have a study, if you don't feel like having a study with one of those people, let us know, and we will have somebody that will have a Bible study with them. Right now, I need to see a show of hands. How many of you are daily Bible readers this week? Raise your hands. Duke's going to give us a count. Keep your hand up for a little while. Give us time to get a count. If you're a daily Bible reader, keep your hands up. We got it. All right. Thank you. One of the most beautiful things about God creating man is the fact that God created us with a free will. This means that we have a right to choose what we will do, what we will say, how we will live, who we will serve, where we will go. We've been given the privilege of choice. I used to tell my kids when they were young, I used to tell them, you are who you are because that's who you choose to be. Because literally everybody that is here right now is where they're at because that's where they want to be here. If you didn't want to be here, you wouldn't be here. And if you wanted to be here, you would be here. Sometimes there are some things that are beyond our control. Circumstances get in our way and block us from doing the things that we want to do. My physical abilities block me from being an NFL football player. So there are some limitations with what we can and cannot do, and we understand that. But when God created Adam and Eve, He put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It says to dress it and to keep it, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. But God didn't just make a paradise that was there that had everything at their convenience where they could just sit back, get fat, and just eat off of whatever, everything was in their reach. He actually gave them choices. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So He puts man in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. It was His job to make sure the weeds didn't get out of hand and make sure that everything was trimmed and taken care of. And then He says you can have whatever you want in there, but of this tree you can't. There's choices. You have to make a choice. By giving man the freedom of choice, God knew that man could or would choose good over evil. He could choose evil over good. Joshua knew this principle well. We've been studying the book of Joshua. He had been with Moses when the Israelites transgressed God's laws. He had been there when the people chose to do right and to serve God. He had seen all of this. He was with Moses when they went up into the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. He was with Moses when they came down and the people had thrown everything they had and said, "We build this calf." They took all their gold, threw it in the fire. They took the gold, melted it down, built a calf and said, "This is the God that brought us out of Egypt." We look at that and we scratch our heads and say, "What was wrong with these people that think something like that?" They know who brought them out of Egypt. But Joshua saw all of this. He had been there with when the people did right. As he led the people into the promised land, God tells him to speak to the people, to explain to them all the things that He has done for them from the time that they were on the other side of the flood. He goes all the way back to Noah. He says, "You explain to them all of the things that happened from there all the way up before the flood to the Egyptian bondage, the wilderness wanderings, and now even into the entering into the promised land. Explain to them all of those things." With that in mind, I want you to listen to what Joshua tells them in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 17. Joshua 24, verses 14 through 17. It says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord. Joshua is talking to the people. He's addressing the people at God's command. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. The Israelites had the power of choice. They could choose to serve God or serve the pagans. They had seen the almighty power of God and how he had destroyed the pagan nations. They'd seen all of that. However, they still vacillated back and forth between serving God and serving pagans. They needed to quit straddling the fence. Joshua says with confidence, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They knew this, and the people knew that he was telling the truth because they had seen him throughout the years. There are a couple of people within the Bible that are great, great names. We look at David and we think, David, way up here, king of the Israelites, the greatest king they ever had. Not really. The greatest king they ever had was Jesus, but the greatest physical king they ever had was David. And they look at that. But David had his flaws. He ended up killing a person, adultery, all kinds of problems in his life. But if there are a few people that you can look at that you don't ever see anything that was written bad about them, I'm not saying that they never sinned, and I'm not saying they never did anything bad, but Joseph is one of those people. Joseph went down into the land of Egypt, and all he ever did was good all the time. The other one is Joshua. Here we read about Joshua. Joshua was right there beside Moses all the way through. When he comes into the land, God tells him, only be thou strong and very courageous. Go in there. And he went. And then he keeps telling him and telling him and telling him. So Joshua here is speaking to the people and he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And they understand that because they said, he's right. We know he will because we've seen it. We've seen it for the last 40 years. He serves God faithfully. What a great example he was for the people of Israel to look at him, and they looked at him the way they looked at Moses. God knew exactly what he was doing when he put Joshua in place, because Joshua, he knew Joshua would make the right choice when it came to serving him and to lead the people. So in this particular instance, he calls them out to do to get off the fence and to get their life straight. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Make your choice. You have to make a choice. We all have choices. A lot of people say, well, it's just fate. It just happens. It's just whatever happens, happens. No, we have choices. His message was, you need to make up your mind who you will serve. If that isn't a message for people today, I don't know what is. People need to make up their minds whom they will serve. They're gonna, who are you going to serve today? Are you going to serve the world, or are you going to serve God? Are you going to serve Fauci, or are you going to serve God? Are you going to serve Donald Trump, or are you going to serve God? Are you going to serve Joe Biden? Are you going to serve God? I can throw names out there all day long, because we have so many people that we serve, and we serve, oh, that people just, oh, I can't make it to church today. The Super Bowl is on. Seriously? You know how ridiculous that's going to sound when you stand before the judgment and you're going to say, well, I missed worship because of a game that adults were playing. Seriously? Now, I know you take your football seriously, and you get people start throwing stones at you if you say anything about the Spurs. God forbid those heathens get any glory. But let me tell you, when it comes to the judgment, it's going to come down to whether we serve God or whether we serve the people of this world. And they're all more than happy to take all the glory they can take if you just keep on throwing them dollars and they just keep on getting rich and keep on living that. But there are sometimes the choices we make get us in trouble. Not only do we sometimes choose things that are contrary to God's will, but even sometimes when we seem like we're making the right choice, it's just not the right choice. We have to be very, very careful with that. It turns out terrible. Remember when Lot and Abraham had gathered together? Lot was Abraham's nephew. Abraham's brother had died, and so he took his nephew in under his wing, and they were travel companions. They were grown men, so it wasn't like Lot was some little kid. He may have been when he first started living with Abraham, but by this particular time, he was a grown man, and he had lots of flocks and lots of herds. He had lots of wealth, okay? So wealth then was measured by material possessions, much like today, but those material possessions weren't like cars and trucks and boats and planes and things like that, but rather sheep and goats and camels and oxen and all of that. So they had flocks and herds, And they were there were too many for the land that they were in. And it was causing the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham to have conflict. And they were fighting back and forth. And so Abraham said, look, this is not good. We shouldn't be against one another. What we need to do is we need to split up and we need to go, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. But we need to split up so that we don't have conflict between us because we're family. Genesis chapter 13 verses 9 through 11, Lot was given the choice. Abraham, the humble servant that he was, looks at Lot, his nephew, and says, you choose. And he says this in Genesis 13 verse 9, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So he looks at this land and goes, man, look at them green pastures down there. We're in a drought over here. I don't want this land. Look at that. It's all green down there. So he sees that it was well watered, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. This wasn't a parting of the ways, like, I'll never see you again. You go that way, I'll go this way. We're done. It was more like, you take where you want to go, I'll take where I want to go. We'll spread out so that we can survive. We can continue to grow. Lot chose the land that seemed to be the best for his herds and his flocks. A lot of people condemn Lot and they say he was greedy and that's what got him in that position. I don't know anybody that would give him the choice. You take whatever you want. They want to take what's good, right? They want what's good for their family. Lot looked at this and he thought, this is going to be great for my herds. This is going to be great for my flocks. However, he didn't really take into account that it was a terrible choice for his family. It was a terrible choice for his family because the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 13. It was a terrible, terrible place to raise a family. People do this today. Oh, I got this great job opportunity. I'm going to make $8 more an hour than what I'm making now. Wow, that's a big jump. Yeah, I'm going to be living over in where? Las Vegas. Or I'm going to be living in some filthy dirt hole over there where there's no church, where there's no godly people, where it's all sinners. And yeah, but I'm going to be making a lot of money. I'll be able to come back and I'll be able to help the church build a new building. Sure. Yeah, that happens all the time. People make choices in their lives to go do something thinking this is going to be great for me and it's the worst thing for the family. He goes over there, he lives over there for 15 years, he comes back, where's your kids at? Oh, one of them's a pimp, one of them's a prostitute, one of them's a drunk, they've all left the Lord, they left the church, they've done all kinds of crazy stuff because you put them in a position where they didn't have anything to fall back on, they didn't have God in their lives and you couldn't live an example for them. This is what Lot was saying. People condemn Lot for picking this land. In essence, they're right because of Sodom and Gomorrah. He should have thought about that. It's a bad place. It proved to be a devastating choice for Lot for several reasons. First of all, because there arose up a war between the kings of the land and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. These kings decided to make war against Sodom and Gomorrah. They came in and they attacked and they took people captive. One of the families they took captive was Lot and his family. They took them captive and they headed off with them. They took all that they had and all their possessions and they captured them and took them. Okay, so this was brought to the attention of Abraham. Somebody came to Abraham and said, hey, you didn't hear what happened, did you? Some kings raised up a war and they came to battle against Sodom and Gomorrah and they took your nephew Lot and they took him captive along with all the other people. So Abraham had to go and rescue Lot. He gathered up all his troops and all his men and all of his men's men, and he went and he took a troop and he chased them down and he attacked them and he got Lot back and he saved him from these people. Brought him back and let him go back where? Back to Sodom and Gomorrah, back to his home near Sodom. But that's not the worst of it. Later when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed and God told them, when you leave, you go out, head out, and don't look at me. Lot's family was the only ones that survived that destruction. There was three cities, I think, that were destroyed. It wasn't just Sodom and Gomorrah. There was another one, or there were a couple others. But anyway, they were all destroyed. He says, don't look back. Just go. You just go and don't look back. Leave the land. Genesis 19:17. But Lot's wife made the choice. She chose when the cities were being burned and fire, its brimstone was raining down on the cities. She couldn't stand it. She had to turn and look back. You ever see somebody driving a car and there's a wreck over there on the other side of the highway and they go, bam! They were looking over there and they hit that. They had a wreck. They had a wreck. I saw where I saw the other day. A guy said we're programmed for negativity. You can pass the most beautiful sunset in the world every single day and not even glance over it. But if there's a wreck and there's wheels pointing up instead of pointing down, you got to look at what's going on over there. You got to look at that. Lot's wife turned and looked back. Genesis chapter 19, verse 26, it says, But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot couldn't even say, well, at least I have my family, because now he lost his wife too. So he lost everything. He was so wealthy. He was as wealthy as Abraham. He had so much cattle and so much flocks and herds and wealth and possessions that the land couldn't hold him. He had to move to this other land. But now he's lost it all, and he's even lost his wife as well. Later, Lot's predicament gets even worse. You read into that. But it's all about choices. The reason his life turned into shambles was because of choices. Now, Lot made a really good choice at one time. He could have stayed with Terah, his grandfather. He could have stayed with other family members. But he chose to go with Abraham. And because of that, he became rich. But when Abraham made the offer, hey, we need to choose this land, he chose that place. He could have chosen to get out of there. He could have told Abraham, I can't stay there anymore. They've got a bunch of filthy people over there. That's the worst place you could possibly live. I got to get my family out of there before it's too late. So I wonder what would have happened if he had chosen the land of Canaan and Abraham had been living over against Sodom. What would have happened? We'll never know that, but anyway, that's because of choices he made. Sometimes there are choices that we read about that turn out to be really good choices. Remember when Joshua told the people, as I mentioned earlier, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. It says, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. I lost my scripture there. I apologize. Joshua 24, around verse 15, 16. The people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. Okay? Why would we serve other gods? Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Why would we serve anybody else? We're going to serve God. They made that choice. What a great choice. Later on, they went back and forth. Now, about us, whether we've obeyed the gospel or not, we've all made a choice on who we will serve. If we have not chosen to serve God, then by default, we're serving Satan. Did you know that? That's true. If you have not chosen to serve God, then by default you're choosing to serve Satan. This may sound strange, but let me show you. Let me point a few things out. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Matthew 6 verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In this particular passage, he's talking about people that are attached to their wealth. They're serving their wealth instead of God. But it applies to just about anything in our lives that we try to serve other than God. You can't serve God and serve the world. It doesn't work. Sometimes people choose not to choose, but that's still a choice. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21 says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered, not a word. They kept their mouth shut. They didn't know what to say. Quit riding the fence. He's telling them, quit riding the fence. I can remember as a kid standing in the doorway. We'd open the door and be standing there looking outside. My wife would come through and say, get in or get out. Quit standing in the doorway. Get in or get out. And I'm like, okay. And close the door. I'd get out. And then I want to go back in. I'd go back in. And still, get in or get out. Make up your mind. You're letting the flies in. Here we're being told, Elijah's saying, get in or get out. Get in or get out. He looked at people and said, get in with God or get out with Baal. Either way, you need to make a choice. You can't just have both. The statement that either you can serve God or you serve Satan, it may seem a little bit misleading. Consider this. If you choose not to serve God, as I said before, by default you are serving Satan. However, if you choose not to serve Satan, that doesn't by default make you a servant of the Lord. The reason is because there's no neutral ground. There's no neutral ground whatsoever. So if you think about this, if you think of two opinions, you have this opinion here, and you have the neutral ground in the middle, you can look at it like this podium here. You have God on one side, Satan on the other side, and you have the middle right here. Well, Satan owns the middle. There's no neutral ground. So if you're trying to ride this, I'm not going that way, I'm not going that way, I'm staying right here, you belong to the Satan. There's no neutral ground with Satan. There's no neutral ground whatsoever. Those who choose not to decide automatically belong to Satan, and those who believe that they have not chosen Satan, but they neither serve God, they still belong to Satan. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. It seems a little strange when you think about this, but this is happening all the time. All of those people in the world that are lost. That's all there is to it. You're lost or you're saved. It's black and white. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's black or white. Throughout the scriptures, we're never given a grayscale. We're never given a, he was kind of saying, choose you this day who you will serve. You make the choice. I can't make the choice for you. Mama can't make the choice for you. Daddy can't make the choice for you. Your kids, your wife, your husband, nobody can make the choice for you. It's you. You and you alone. That's it. No other place in the world will we stand alone except the judgment. I can take my wife just about anywhere I go. In fact, this whole country was turned upside down when we go to the hospital with a 90-year-old grandmother to go help her to see the doctor, and they say, you can't go. She has to go in alone. Or you take a 3-year-old kid to go see the doctor, and they say, you can't go in with them. He has to go in alone. Over my dead body, I'm going in with them, because we go everywhere with each other. We watch out for each other. We take over for each other. We take care of each other. When you stand before the judgment, there ain't nobody taking care of you but you. You're gonna answer for your choices and your decisions. Each and every one of us will. No matter what I say from up here, we'll still answer to our own choices. We have to make those choices. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. Matthew 12 verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. When Moses was just a baby, his mother had to make a choice. She could turn him over to the authorities to have him killed, or she could hide him and keep him alive. She chose to hide him. She made a choice. She kept him alive. She hid him. She hid him for 3 months, and when she could no longer hide him, she made another choice. She could go out and turn him over to the authorities. They would kill him. She would kill him herself, or she made another choice. She made a box. She put it in the river, and she floated him down the river. Now, this box, this choice wasn't just, well, I'm going to put him in the river. Hope he makes it to the ocean. We'll see you later, Moses. Well, there he goes. Go home. No, she had a plan in mind. She knew that down that river there were other settlements of people that were not killing their children. Namely, the Pharaoh's household, who would go down and do their laundry and all of that stuff down at the river. She put that box in there with hopes that maybe somebody in that group would find it and would save the baby alive. She had no idea that Pharaoh's own daughter would pick that child up, but she did. Because of her choice, Moses escaped death and lived the life of a prince. But Moses grew, and as he grew, he found out that he wasn't actually a prince, but he was a Hebrew. And as such, he made the choice to embrace his ethnicity in that respect. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses made a choice. He could go serve the people, and it's going to be a tough life. He left being a prince in Egypt, the Pharaoh's grandson, basically, to go and chase goats across the mountain. You know, that's because he wanted to follow God's people. He wanted to do what God wanted. Throughout Moses' life, he had many opportunities to make choices. For the most part, he always made the right choice. He would always choose the spiritual over the carnal. His choices were exemplary. Moses chose the spiritual. The consequences of those choices always had a godly benefit. Likewise, the choices that we make today, they usually have spiritual implications, whether for the good or for the bad. They have spiritual implication. You can choose to come and sit in the pews every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday night, be here every single time the doors are open, and live like Satan himself when you're outside these doors and think you get away with it because we don't know about that. That's fine. That's your choice. You're making a choice. you will face the implications of that. You will have consequences of those actions. We will have consequences of our actions and our decisions. If we choose correctly, we will have great spiritual implications. The pathway we choose will determine the destination. That's a very simple no-brainer. The pathway you choose determines your destination. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Here Jesus says in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." How many people are on the straight and narrow road? Very few, according to this passage. That word straight comes from the Greek word stenos, which means narrow. I can remember my own mother telling me when I was out of line, "You better get on a straight and narrow, boy, or I'm going to wear you out." That was one of those sayings that you'll never forget. I heard it plenty of times. I usually listen to her. We need to choose the narrow way. Again, here we're given two choices, the narrow way and the wide or the broad way. There are simply no other options. When choosing this in this capacity, we are deciding our final destiny. Maybe we could look at it like this. Suppose you were given some instructions. You need to go and take a trip. You need to leave the parking lot today, and you need to drive down this street here, and when you get to the highway over here, take a right and go to 35 and get on 35 and drive 120 miles. You're not told which direction, just drive 120 miles. If you go one way, it's going to take you to Austin. If you go the other way, it's going to take you to Mexico. Now, there are two choices, north and south. Two totally different destinations. You can't say, "Well, I'm going to go to Mexico, but I don't like, it's hot down there, so I'm going to go north. I want to go to Mexico, but I'm going to get on the northbound lane and drive north because there's less traffic there. I'm going to get on that one." Or the opposite. "Well, I want to go to Mexico. I want to go to Austin. I like Austin, but there's less traffic on the southbound lane, so I'm going south." It doesn't work that way. There's two destinations, two choices. You choose your destination. Same goes for life. Where you're going to spend eternity is determined by the choices you make here. Where are you headed? Where are you going? There are many choices we make throughout our lives, but none are as important as choosing our final destination. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether good or bad." Too often we are influenced by our peers or even our family. Many well-meaning, well-intending parents or siblings offered someone advice or instruction which was very detrimental to their souls or to the well-being of the person offered. When it comes to our salvation, not only do we have to make our own decision, we have to be very careful in how we influence other people. We could influence someone to do the wrong thing. Can you imagine giving your child advice? You have a child, and I'm not talking about a little bitty kid. I'm talking about one of your grown children, and you give them advice. "This is what you got to do." "Well, I'm thinking about doing..." No, you got to do this. You got to do this. And they follow that advice, and because of that, they lose their life. Because of advice you gave them, they lose their life. How would you feel? Would you feel guilt? Would you be able to live with yourself? "It was my fault. I convinced them to do that. And now they're gone." How would you live with yourself? While this is a made-up scenario, there is some reality to it. If you think it would make you feel horrible that you were the one that helped your child make a decision that caused them to lose their life, if that would make you feel horrible, consider how you will feel standing at the judgment, knowing that your child, sibling, parent, or loved one will miss the glories of heaven because of your influence and the things you did or didn't say to them. "Oh, I know she's lost, but I don't want to talk to her. I don't want to make her mad. I don't want to upset her. Why didn't you tell me? I didn't have to be in this torment for the rest of eternity because of you could have just told me." When we influence someone to make a bad choice, even if we have good intentions, we will be held accountable. We look at that and we say, "No, we're not gonna be. I don't think I'll be held accountable for that." Look at Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18. "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and you do not give him warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. but his blood will I require at your hand. He will still be accountable for his choice, but I'm going to hold you accountable for not warning him. We have a call. We have a charge to warn the wicked to turn from their ways. Some people say, yeah, you know, you get up there and preach, and I feel like you're preaching right at me, and I don't know why you're screaming all the time, and I don't know why you're preaching all the time. I hope if just for one person will get the idea and get the understanding that if you don't obey the gospel, you are lost, and the lost will spend an eternity in hell, a place that is reserved for the devil and his angels, and it's not even good enough for the worst person you can possibly imagine on the planet. It's too bad for that person, much less the good, fine people of this community and of this congregation. We look at it and say, yeah, you know, all my friends are going to be there. It's going to be a big old honky-tonk. It's not. I'm sorry. You're still on the fence about serving Christ. Choose you this day whom you will serve, as Joshua said. Maybe you've decided you want to be on the straight and narrow. You want your final destination to be heaven, but you have not chosen to do anything about it. You have yet to make a decision. Well, I'm just gonna go on what I was taught by my parents. I'm just gonna go by what my priest told me, or what my pastor told me, or what the bishop told me, or what my grandmother told me, because that's good enough. I give you book, chapter, and verse because I don't care what you think of me. I really don't. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. What I care about is lost souls. I love everyone in this congregation. This congregation has been great to me. But I can't help but preach the full gospel of Christ. Amen. The whole counsel of God. People need to hear that if you're not saved, you're lost. And if you're lost, you're going to spend an eternity in hell. There are some things you must do. You must hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing. Today you've heard the gospel of Christ. Believe. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can be told whatever you want, but if you don't believe, you will be lost. Hebrews 11:6. You must repent. Luke 13:3. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You can say you believe all you want, but if you don't repent, you will likewise perish like those people there. Acts 17:30, it says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. We must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. We must put Christ on in baptism for the remission of sins. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Finally, we must remain faithful unto death. Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected?